Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
And welcome to the Long-Term Care Radio podcast, and thanks for tuning in for everybody. Let's talk about something today that I think everybody has an opinion on, and that's taxes. When I say the word tax, what does that mean to you? The legal definition of this is a compulsory contribution to state revenue levied by the government on workers' income and business profits, or added to the cost of some goods, services, and transactions. The second definition is a strain or heavy demand, as in, you know, a heavy tax on the reader's attention. But for us today, let's talk about the government-levied taxes. Do you think they are fair? I have clients that hate paying taxes, and I have some that just think it's part of life, that don't really even think about it at all. And actually, in all of my years in the financial services, I've actually seen extremes on both sides of the fence. And one of the most blaring examples of this was I had a client that was turning 70. This was a few years ago. And he had over $2 million in an IRA account that he had never touched. It was a 401k, and when he retired, he converted it over to an IRA. And that money was just sitting there growing deferred. And he had Social Security that he had not started taking, which you have to start taking at 70. And so he was living off of his small pension and cash savings. And I said, you know, when I start talking to him, I said, why are you doing this? Why aren't you accessing some of that IRA money and pulling that out now? And he goes, well, I don't want to pay taxes on it. I said, I understand that, but you are at a much lower tax rate now than you are going to be next year. And he said, well, no, I'm not. Why would that be? And then I explained the way required minimum distributions work, that he was going to be pulling out over $80,000 out of his retirement account. Oh, and his Social Security was going to be supplying him another $40,000. So now he's got $120,000 of additional income added to what he was making right now off of his pension. And he just, oh, I tell you what, he was so frustrated. And he actually never became a client of mine. He actually never put a long-term care plan in place. But he was so adamant about not paying taxes that he was letting that money just sit there. And the problem with that is, now guess what's going to happen? When he just takes those required minimum distributions, that $2 million is probably going to stay around $2 million. He's probably not going to whittle that down a whole lot. And when he passes away and he leaves that to his daughter, now his daughter's got to take that out in 10 years. So she's got to take out at least $200,000 a year for 10 years and add that to her income, which is going to put her in even a higher tax rate than he's in. So that's one extreme of people going to, you know, to taking all these steps to avoid paying taxes, and they end up paying taxes in the long run a lot more. And then we see the other extremes. We'll see people that will go in and they'll pull money out of retirement accounts early. They'll pay the tax on it. They'll pay the penalty on it. And they can't ever seem to really wrap their mind around what they're actually doing or how they're penalizing. They're just like, oh, well, it's what I needed some money to buy this car, so I just tapped my 401k, and it just cost them a ton of money in excess penalties and taxes that they just didn't need to pay. So love them or hate them, taxes are a part of our life. Now, personally, I don't really have a problem paying taxes, as I know they are necessary. They're part of providing schools, infrastructure, security, you know, unless you live in Seattle, of course. But the point is, yes, we have to contribute some taxes. That's how we do what we do. That's how we build schools and roads and things that we need. My problem, I have several problems with taxes, and it's how they work in this country. Number one, I think everyone should have some skin in the game. And what I mean by that is nearly half of Americans pay no federal income tax whatsoever. And I don't care if you're making 10 bucks an hour or you're making $12 an hour or $15 an hour, you should be paying something. When I used to make my $3 at Jack's Market in Colorado, my $3.05 an hour, I paid federal income taxes. I contributed. And now we got half of Americans that don't do that at all. So I think everybody should be contributing something to the taxes. Everybody should have a little skin in the game. I don't like the way the tax code is used for social engineering. And we have a lot of that. We have more of that than I think people realize. You know, for instance, I can eat two boxes of Twinkies and a gallon of ice cream a day and get my, you know, eat myself into diabetes and obesity and become this big drain on the healthcare system, on Medicare when I'm 65. That's not a problem. But if I want to have a glass of wine with dinner, I've got to pay a tax on that. And some states, those taxes are much higher than other states. Some states put a sin tax on that, like they do tobacco and alcohol and all those other things. And then you have the other side of the spectrum where they're giving tax credits. A lot of those tax credits are helping the richest of the people out there. I mean, who you get a $7,500 tax credit for buying an electric car. Remember, half of Americans don't pay any taxes, so that tax credit doesn't do anything for them. Also, my third big issue with them is the use of our tax dollars, the inefficiency in it. They are incredibly inefficient with our taxes. I mean, think about Washington State, for example. We have one of the highest gasoline taxes in the country, yet we have some of the worst congestion. We had one of the highest license plate taxes. I remember back in 1997, my license plates were nearly $700 for my car. And yet our roads are falling apart, our bridges are crumbling, and they needed that tax along with the highest tax. But that money wasn't going for any of that stuff. And in fact, I think the state kind of stepped on their own foot when the first Tim Iman initiative came out to lower those license plate tabs down to $30, and all of a sudden the campaign hit. Look what really these license plates were paying for. You know, meals on wheels. We're going to have to close libraries. We're going to have to quit college grants. Birds are going to fall out of the sky. There's not going to be any more salmon in our streams. I mean, they just went down the litany. And what they really proved is that those license plate tabs weren't going for what they were supposed to, and that's why people were so frustrated. Yeah, if I'm paying $600 for license plate tabs and I have great roads and we have a good transportation system, it makes sense. But we didn't have any of that. So that's just typical government. They're very inefficient with the way they spend their money. Well, the reason why we're talking about taxes on Long-Term Care Radio today is because, believe it or not, if you are a W-2 employee in the state of Washington, you are going to be faced with a new tax on every dollar that you earn starting January 2022. And it's not the income tax or the capital gains tax that the legislation is trying to push through right now. This is a tax for a benefit that the vast majority of you will never receive. And we are talking about Washington's Long-Term Care Trust Act, also known as LTSS, which stands for Long-Term Care Services and Support Trust Act. This act was signed into law on May 16th, 2019 by Governor Inslee. And remember when he went out on the campaign to nationally and got his less than 1% of the vote, one of the big things that he was really touting out there is that we were the first state to enact a comprehensive long-term care plan. That's what this is. That's what this is supposed to be. And for those of you that are listening to the podcast in other states, which I know there's quite a few of you now, so you live outside of Washington, don't think you are in the clear. There's at least five other states right now that are developing similar programs to Washington's, and there's another dozen or more that are actively being campaigned with similar legislation. So what is the Long-Term Care Services and Support Trust Act? Is it a good idea, or is it going to be another inefficient government program? Are you going to pay into it? Do you have a choice? We're going to discuss all of this today on Long-Term Care Radio, and I will share with you what everyone needs to know if you are employed in the state of Washington. And folks, I think you're just going to be absolutely shocked at the way this thing was put together. But first, thanks, number one, to everybody that attended our classes this last month. We had a class just last Wednesday and a class last Saturday. Again, I just love those their webinars now, but I just love the classes. It gives you a chance to get in and learn about what long-term care is, about some of the options, and get your questions answered. So I've got two more on the calendar now coming up for March, and it's going to be Saturday, March 20th at 9 a.m. So we're going to go back to that Saturday. We're going to try to do one Saturday morning every month now because we've gotten so much feedback from our listeners that that's still a good time. And then we're going to have one the following Wednesday on the 24th, and that's going to be at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So look for both of those classes on our website at 525longtermcare.com. We also have a great client of the week this week. It's a single father who wanted to put a plan in place to protect his three daughters. I'm going to show you how we did it and why it was important to him. And before we go today, I want to spend some time talking about one of the most common mistakes people make, and that's comparing insurance to investments, especially on these asset-based plans. So we've got a lot to cover today, but let's take a quick break. And when we come back, let's get into this Long-Term Care Trust Act, and I'll tell you what you need to know. We'll be right back.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Take the burden off your loved ones by making sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. And again, thanks for tuning in this weekend. Again, you heard some of the ads. We do have classes coming up next March. So if you want to jump on that, certainly just go to our website at 525longtermcare.com. You can also get our podcast. So if you miss any part of this radio show, you can also get those there as well, too. This week, I just, you know, let's back up for a second. 525 Advisors, the name, 525, that's actually an IRS tax publication titled Taxable and Non-Taxable Income. And the reason why I picked that is because I think so many people overlook how taxes play a role, especially in retirement, things on how it affects our Medicare costs. You know, how much of that IRA or that 401k that you have saved is actually going to go to the government in the form of taxes. And, oh, by the way, long-term care insurance is a tax-free benefit. But if you're saving money and investing it and you're pulling that money out and you're converting that income or those assets to income, you're paying taxes. Long-term care avoids all that. So taxes are very near and dear to me because I think that, you know, we should be paying our taxes, but we should be paying the right amount. We shouldn't be just ignoring it like so many people do, and we should be taking advantage of the tax code and paying what we're legally responsible for. And that is what a lot of people just don't seem to put a lot of effort into. And this week, I'm going to spend some time talking about what the Washington State Long-Term Care Trust Act is. It's also known as the Long-Term Care Services and Supports Trust Act. Again, it was signed into law in May of 2019 by Governor Inslee. It's being presented as a long-term care benefit for Washington residents who pay into the system through a payroll tax. Excuse me. The benefit initially today is going to be $100 a day for 1 year, which is $36,500. That's the maximum benefit that you can get out of this program. It will pay for care in a facility. It will pay for long-term care services in your home. It will actually even pay a family member to provide that care for you. However, there is a catch to it. The family member must be trained 21 to 35 hours of formal training, depending on the situation. Now, guess who's behind that? The Service Employees International Union, SEIU. That is who is behind that. Because when this bill originally came out, they said, hey, we want to pay for home care. The union said, no, you need to be paying licensed healthcare workers only. So the compromise was, okay, you can pay a family member, but that family member now has to go through 21 to 35 hours of training that is going to be designed by the union. The union is responsible. Again, the Service Employees Union is going to be responsible for the instruction, certifying the instructors, developing the programs, and offering the training courses. That's the compromise. And so who's going to get paid for that? The union's going to get paid for that. Who are they going to get paid by? They're going to get paid by the state. How's the state getting paid? They're getting paid by your tax dollars. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. So that was really the compromise. Yes, you can have a family member provide that service. And remember, the vast majority of long-term care services start out as just simple custodial care, the care you need to get through the day, the help that you're providing a loved one. Now, this program, the Long-Term Care Trust Act, is going to trigger off of three activities of daily living. This is different than long-term care insurance. You need to understand that. Long-term care insurance is standardized, either 2 out of 6 activities of daily living or a cognitive impairment. Under the state program, you have to trigger 3 activities of daily living, and they're much broader. Medical management, personal hygiene, eating, toileting, transferring, body care, bathing, mobility, dressing, and cognitive impairment. So if you're diagnosed with Alzheimer's, you still have to meet 2 other ADLs to trigger the state plan versus a traditional private long-term care insurance contract. You're going to trigger your policy on the diagnosis of a cognitive impairment. The plan was originally priced with a 45-day elimination period, meaning you got to pay the first 45 days of care, or somebody has to provide that first 45 days of care before the state benefit starts paying. And the providers, or the service providers, the people providing that care for you, if you're bringing in that home health care agency or you're moving to an assisted living facility, must be on the Department of Social and Health Services approved list. Folks, if anybody out there has a family member on Medicaid, you know what we're talking about. There's a list out there, Medicaid approved. The vast majority of assisted living facilities out there are not on the Medicaid list because they don't want to accept the reimbursements. So keep all that in mind. Now, let's get to the big point of this Trust Act. How is it funded? Starting January 2022, there's going to be a payroll tax of 0.58% on all wages earned. It's mandatory. It's mandatory for W-2 employees in the state of Washington. Self-employed or independent contractors may opt in. They have a period right now. The current bill being considered says they must opt in by January 1st, 2025. So if you're self-employed or a contractor, you can opt in and just pay that tax on yourself. But here's the catch on this, that 0.58%, so that's $580 per $100,000. That doesn't sound like a lot, but we're going to do some math here in a second, and you'll see what I mean. It is. Now, who's going to qualify? Benefits are going to be vested by individuals who work a minimum of 500 hours a year. So you've got to be working at least 500 hours a year. You've got to pay premiums for at least 10 years without a break of 5 consecutive years. So you've got to pay into it for 10 years. So if you've paid in for 15 years, but you had a break for 7 years, you're not going to be vested. who pays the premiums? Basically, in the beginning, they're going to give us a little bit of wiggle room. They're going to look back the last 6 years. You have to have paid in for at least 3 years because, again, the first benefits aren't going to be payable until 2025. But here's another catch. You must reside in the state of Washington. That means if you move out of state, even if you paid into this plan for 30 years, you're not going to get any benefits if you move out of the state. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to retire here. Well, that's great. But what happens if you end up in a long-term care situation and you want to move in with your kids that live in Oregon or Arizona or Colorado? That benefit is just wasted. You're not going to get that. Your kids would have to move here if they're going to be the ones that take care of you. If you end up retiring out of the state, you're not going to be able to take that benefit with you, even though you've paid for it. Who doesn't qualify? Any of those of you that are retired already, you're not going to qualify for this program. Adults and children disabled prior to age 18 will not qualify for this program. Here's the big one, non-working spouses. So think about that. You are the head of household. You're out working. You're making your $200,000. You're paying $1,300 a year in tax for this program. And guess what? Your wife is not covered. Your husband is not covered. Your partner is not covered. Your stay-at-home partner does not get covered under this plan. You have to be working. Anyone who moves out of the state for 5 or more years will forfeit both benefits and premiums paid into the plan. So that means if you live here and you work for 20 years and you move somewhere for 10 years and you come back here, you're going to lose all your benefits. So here's the thing that I want everybody to take away from this today. The program allows an option for you to opt out. Owners of private long-term care insurance may opt out of the program by applying for an exemption between October 1st, 2021 and December 31st, 2022. Private long-term care insurance must be obtained right now. This is up in the air. We think it's going to be July 2021, which is coming up. It may be pushed out to October. It was originally supposed to be till the end of the year, but now they're trying to pull that back because they don't want the competition from private insurance companies. Right now, we have no minimum requirements on long-term care insurance. That means that you can go out and get a basic starting plan, and that will work. That will allow you the exemption. Here's the thing about the state plan. It provides 1 year benefits. Legally in this state, that's considered short-term. It's not considered long-term care. In fact, long-term care policies have to provide a minimum of 2 years of coverage to be able to be sold in this state. So here's what we know from this plan. Right out of the gate, this plan is upside down. Just like all the big transit projects that we have across this country, the payroll tax of 0.58% was based on investment returns of about 3.5% and rising over time. So otherwise, more of a stock market return, not a bond market return. Washington has a constitutional prohibition against putting state funds in stock market investments. So the real rate of return for this program should have been based on like bonds and CDs, because that's really where the money has to be. And that's really closer to 0.5% right now, and base it on that and rising over time. So they're already upside down. They estimate that this is the own state's actuaries that they hired, the consultants. They came in with estimates that it's going to save the state between $12 million and $41 million a year. There's an $80 million administrative fee is what they're predicting to run this program. So again, they're going to charge us billions of dollars to try to save $12 million or $41 million. And similar programs, by the way, CalPERS, if anybody's from California, they probably heard of this, California Public Employee Retirement System. They have a 90% rate increase on top of a rate increase of 85% that they're actually getting sued over. So again, these programs, it's like everything else. They're going to start off with that small tax, but they're going to have to raise the tax to keep the program working. That's just bottom line. To keep it solvent, they're going to have to raise those tax. Another thing that we know is the Washington voters overwhelmingly voted this program down. There was an advisory vote that got rejected by a 2-to-1 margin. Now it's coming back in 2021 as ballot number 8200. And what they're hoping to do is to slide this in so they can get a lower turnout and get more people to say, yeah, we'll take this thing. Because really what they need us to vote for is to allow them to put that money in the stock market instead of the bond fund. Folks, there's a few more things I want to talk about. We are heading into our break. We got news at the bottom of the hour. So let's take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to finish up a little bit on this Washington Trust Act. And then I'm going to go to our client of the week, Thomas, who is 74, and show you how we set up a plan for him. We'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital Management and host of Know Your Risk Radio. You know, something we never really talk about on the show, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but is long-term care. And we never talk about it because we don't sell it. We're licensed to, but we don't. And you want to know why? Because it's really intricate and complicated, and we're not trying to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. We want to focus on your investments. That's where we believe that we bring value. For long-term care insurance, which I think is very important, can be a good fit, maybe not right for some people, but if you have questions about long-term care insurance, do what we do, right? You know what we do? We call Brian Ott, 525 Advisors. Why? Not because he and I are both on the radio show. We started using Brian, referring it out for our clients, because he knows it inside and out. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You can contact Brian. You can sign up for one of his events. I couldn't be a bigger fan. Take advantage of it. You need long-term care. Brian's the guy to go to.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks again for tuning in. So we're talking about the Washington State Long-Term Care Trust Act. I am going to get to our client of the week, but I just want to finish up talking about this because this is so important. And for any of you that have missed the beginning of this, certainly jump on our website at 525longtermcare.com. You can download the podcast. You can ask your smart speaker to play it. You can get the podcast on iTunes. So I was talking a little bit about some of the things that we know about this program so far. So we know that the voters pretty much said, hey, we don't want this. They've tried it twice. But again, they'll do these advisory votes, and it absolutely meant nothing. The legislation just went ahead and threw this through. Now they're going to bring it back as another ballot issue because what they're trying to do is get us to vote saying, yes, that we can now put this money in stock market. Because, again, they've got to chase stock market returns to try to keep this program solvent because it's already upside down actuarially. I mean, it's just a typical government program, right? Oh, we're just going to – the important thing is to get it shoved through right now, and we'll work out the details later. Well, the details later are just like all the taxes on everything, right? The stadium taxes, the hotel taxes, all those things that never simply go away. This tax is going to have to go up, and they know that because even if they're chasing the benefits and they got a big exposure to the stock market, what happens when the stock market goes down? Well, people are still going to go on claim, so they're going to have to raise taxes. Another thing that we do know, benefits on the long-term care plan, the state long-term care plan, are going to be the same regardless of how much you pay in. Right now, it's $100 a day max for a year, so $36,500. That's the max that you can pull out of this program. Your non-working spouse will not be covered. The state is counting on high earners to subsidize low-wage earners. So again, if you're making $200,000 or $300,000 as a household, you're going to be paying a couple thousand dollars a year in tax versus somebody that's making $50,000 a year is going to be paying $300 a year in tax. So they need those high earner, you know, the tech guys, the engineers, the Boeing people, the UW professors, they need those people paying and subsidizing this plan. And just so you know, approximately 75% of all employees in the state can get an equal or better benefits through the private market for the same premium tax. And what I mean by that is if we take all the employees in the state, about 75% of them, and we figure out how much tax they're going to pay into the Washington State Trust Program, we can get them a private insurance program that has better benefits for the same amount of money. And also think about this. If you have private long-term care insurance, you own the policy. It's portable. You don't lose it if you move out of the state. You can get your spouse covered. You can get partnership qualified plans, which means that if you ever run out of that money, that you can protect assets from Medicaid spend down. The Washington State program does none of that. And there's shared care options. There's all kinds of things we can do in the private market, which you don't get through the state program. And here's an example. I'm just going to tell you this right now. If you take a 40-year-old couple out there, working couple, they're going to get $100 a day for 2 years in the private market, and we're going to put a 3% compound inflation rider on there. Now, that's important because that means that benefit, that $100 a day, is going to compound by 3% every year. The state doesn't do that. The state can go in and raise the benefits based on the consumer price index for Washington, but it is not a locked-in set inflation rate. And the problem we have is inflation, the CPI, is a lot lower than the actual cost for long-term care services. It's not going to keep pace with that. But regardless, a 40-year-old couple could get $100 a day for 2 years each, not 1 year, but 2 years each, 3% compound inflation, and that annual premium would cost them $917. That's through a private insurance company. So if they're making $158,000 a year, they will pay that much in tax to the state for half the benefit. Now, if just one is working, just the wife is working and the husband is a stay-at-home dad, and they're making $158,000, they're going to be paying that much premium for a quarter of the benefit, because remember, the stay-at-home spouse is not covered. And folks, I just want you to really understand this. We're going to have to talk a lot more about this. I've been trying to keep my powder kind of dry because it's been in the legislation. We've been trying to figure out how much time we have to get these long-term care insurance plans in place as a private individual. And we still don't know that for sure. It looks like it's going to be July. Hopefully, there's a chance it could be pushed out to October. Because if it's July, people have to start acting today to get a plan in place to avoid paying this tax to the state. So take away, if you're a W-2 employee, you're going to be taxed. You can opt out if you have a plan in place by July, possibly October. Business owners can get group plans for their workers for a fraction of the cost. They can also contribute to their employees as a benefit and deduct that premium. So that's a benefit for them. This is going to be a much bigger tax grab than people think. That 0.58%, I guarantee you it's going up. It's just going to be a new state income tax. Pretty soon it's going to be 1, 2, 3% because they're going to have to do it because of the baby boomers coming on board and the people aging and the people demanding these services. And the actual benefits are not going to do much to protect you as an individual. $36,000, $100 a day, that is not a real meaningful benefit for what we call long-term care. So, again, very frustrating. If you're a fan of big government programs out there, you're probably not listening to this radio show because of the stations that we're on. But for the rest of us that are working hard and trying to figure out how to plan and prepare for the future, this is just going to be another tax grab if you're a W-2 employee. So keep that in mind. So we are basically at the time where we do the client of the week, and I want to spend a little bit of time on that because I've got a really good client of the week this week. His name is Thomas. He is 74, and a client of the week is where I just kind of go through a program with someone that I designed a plan for, what was important to him, and why we did this. And so I'm going to spend some time on that right now and just go over that with you. And we have lots of examples on our website, by the way, too, if you ever want to see how we design some of these different plans for people. But Thomas is 74. He lost his wife last year. He has three grown daughters. They're ages 32 to 45. He's got five grandchildren. Tom has done a good job over the years saving and investing. But he watched firsthand. One of his very dear friends was diagnosed with Alzheimer's years ago, and he just saw exactly what happened. It was an early onset Alzheimer's. It was under the age of 65. And his friend is basically in 24-hour care right now, and it just devastated, you know, his friend's family and his friend's finances. And he saw that. And admittedly, he said, I should have looked into this a long time ago, but his wife was suffering an illness and he was kind of in a caretaker role. So he said, I didn't have a lot of time to think about myself. I've just been putting everything for me on the back burner. But now that his wife passed away, he says, look, I want to do something to protect my kids. His biggest concern by far was being a burden on his girls. He's got three grown daughters. They're married. They have kids. His youngest one isn't married yet, but he's got two daughters that are married with kids. And he says, you know, now that my wife is gone, he's worried that if something happens to him, his daughters are just going to have to step in. You know, they're very big part of his life, and he understands that they'll do that. And he said, that's fine. That's okay that they care about me, but I don't want them to be burdened by the situation that we're in. So that was his biggest concern, really number one. He had been listening to long-term care radio for quite some time, and what caught his eye was not so much the benefit, the long-term care benefit, the money, because he said, well, I probably have enough to be okay, but what I don't want is I don't want to be in a situation where I have to liquidate assets at a bad time. And also I want the support. I want that 800 number that we always talk about so that my girls don't have to try to figure out what to do with me if something sudden happens to me, if I have a stroke or I'm in an accident or something like that. So what I found out during the conversation with Tom is that Tom has required minimum distributions. He has Social Security and has a small pension, and he's been living off of that fine. So that is fine. So really, his nest egg right now is just that. It's his money. It's his nest egg. It's money that he has that he says, you know, look, I'll be okay with just my income, but I have my savings and my investments. I don't want to whittle that money down. I want to be able to use that to help my family, to spend it on my grandkids, to, you know, enjoy quality of life. That's what he wants to do with it. He recently sold a rental property that he had owned free and clear, and he had that excess money in cash. He said, I'm not going to put that in the market. I've got enough exposure to the risk, so that money's just kind of sitting there as dead money right now. Again, he was an avid listener to our show, so he knew about some of these programs that we talked about, and he said, I want one of those programs that will pay me back if I don't use it. And he liked the idea of aging in place. He said, I'm going to probably stay in my house, but now that his wife is gone, he said, you know, there's a fine line here. I like it, but at the same sense, I also like some social interaction. He's been out looking at some of these continuing care retirement centers and some different places that maybe he can move in as independent living. He said, I don't know where I'm going to end up, but I want a plan that will follow me, that will work in a wide variety of places, including my home, if I'm still here. And so bottom line for him is, he said, look, this is really about putting a plan in place, protecting my kids, making sure that we have a source of money that I can use to pay for care if I need it. And that way I can do some estate planning and use the rest of the money that I have efficiently for whatever that is, vacation, travel, just quality of life. So that's what we were doing. We designed a plan for Tom, and we looked at basically, he was sitting on a lot of cash because he had sold this investment property. And he said, I'm not going to put that in the market. It's not earning any interest. It's probably the first money that I would use for long-term care anyway, because if I access my retirement accounts outside of my RMDs, I just got to pay more taxes. So he said, look, that money's up for grab. I can use that for long-term care. So what we decided to do is design him a plan. I said, how much additional income do you want for your plan? We can look at it that way, or we can look at how much money do you want to put in. And Tom said, you know, I would be very comfortable if I had another $100,000 of income. He said, I probably don't need that much now, but maybe $50,000. But maybe, you know, if I'm 20 years down the road, I'm in my 90s, maybe $100,000 would be good. So I would like $100,000 additional tax-free income coming in. Can we design a plan based on that? And I said, yes, we can. So that's what we did. We designed a plan, a long-term care benefit for Tom that will pay him $108,000 a year. I'm sorry, $100,800. So basically $100,000 a year, $8,400 a month of benefit for life. So that's his long-term care benefit. If he triggers a claim tomorrow, he gets $8,400 a month for an unlimited amount of time. He can live off this plan for the next 30 years. It doesn't matter. He will not run out of long-term care benefit. It provides him a minimum benefit of $280,000. And what I mean by that, folks, when I say minimum benefit, I just told you he has unlimited lifetime benefit for long-term care. What a minimum benefit of $280,000 is, says that, look, if he uses less than $280,000 of long-term care, the difference is paid back to his estate. If he uses no long-term care at all, $280,000 is paid back tax-free to his estate. So that's one of these asset-based, these hybrid plans. We're linking long-term care insurance with another benefit, in this case, it's going to be a tax-free death benefit. So this is the best of both worlds. Tom says, look, if I don't use any long-term care, I put $250 into the plan, my family gets $280 back tax-free. Okay, good. I'm not going to make $30,000 in interest anytime soon, is what he said. Excuse me. If we go the other way, though, and we say, what happens if he gets Alzheimer's like his friend? He ends up on claim for 10 years. Well, he's got $100,000 a year coming in tax-free for 10 years. So he just took his $250 and turned it into $1 million of tax-free money. So it's the best of both worlds. Regardless of what happens, he's going to get more money back out of this plan than he puts into it. It's got a zero-day waiting period for home health care, so that means that if he ends up on claim tomorrow, he can get benefits starting that same day. He doesn't have to wait 90 days. He's got $16,000 that he can use for caregiver training. He's got $16,000 that he can use for home improvement and medical equipment. So if he needs to do an access ramp or grab handles to stay in his house, he can do that. And the best part by far about this plan is that when Tom goes on claim, he has the concierge level service, the concierge care service. And what that simply means, folks, is that we will call for him, or his daughters can call and turn his policy on with the insurance company, and that insurance company is going to assign somebody to him that day. And what that person is going to do is basically be your concierge person. Excuse me. They're going to guide you, help you find the care coordination, get you the case managers, help you negotiate where you want to live, do all those things that you want to do. You still get to say, this is where I'm going, and this is who I'm going to use, this is what I want. But it's just somebody that's sitting on your side of the table to help your family understand those complex decisions that have to be made in a care situation, because these people understand them and they've been there. And so that's the best part. This is the program that I have, and I have it for this reason more than anything, is that I know, because we've turned some of these programs on before, we know that what that does is it relieves that stress and that the problem of the family trying to figure out, how do we get dad care? How do we know this is the right place for him? We bring a professional in that can guide him and counsel them and talk to them and say, yes, these are some of the things you should consider. These are some things you should know about this place. These are some other places that you might want to consider. So again, all of that, single deposit, $251,000. He's guaranteed to get $280,000 back either way, but he has unlimited lifetime benefits and unlimited access to the concierge service. So just a wonderful program, one of our most popular plans, works in all 50 states, works in Canada, even has some international benefits. So Tom can go out and travel, do whatever he wants, and know that he's covered. We're going to head into our final break. And folks, when we get back, I want to spend some time on the last segment talking about the problem that we have when people compare insurance to investments. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525-LongTermCare.com. 525-LongTermCare.com.
You know, we can't always count on great health as we age. That's why I cannot overstate the peace of mind I feel having long-term care coverage for me and my wife. If you've been thinking about it, but you have some questions, this is a great time to get answers. Join my friends from 525 Advisors for one of their free long-term care planning live webinars they have coming up. At the webinar, they'll explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. And then when you're ready, 525 Advisors, they are the best in the country. And I know that because my wife and I went through the whole process with Brian and Madeline, and man, they take great care of their customers. Check out all their reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So sign up today, 525longtermcare.com. Join them for one of their upcoming live webinars. The class is free. All you have to do is go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years, Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, Certified Long-Term Care Planning Specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio. So again, you heard some ads. I do have our classes coming up next month. The first one's going to be March 20th, so we have a little bit of time. That's a Saturday, and then the following Wednesday, the 24th at 3 in the afternoon. So Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and then the following Wednesday at 3 in the afternoon. The classes are the same. So again, if you want to learn about long-term care, what it pays for, see how it compares with Medicaid planning and using trusts or safe harbor trusts or spousal protection trusts or any of that stuff, join our webinar. We're going to talk about all that stuff. You're going to learn about your different options. You're going to find out how these asset-based plans work, like what I just talked about with Tom here. So definitely sign up for one of those classes at 525longtermcare.com. Again, 525longtermcare.com. So we've got a few minutes left. Again, for anybody that's just tuning in or if you missed the first part of the show, I really want you to go back and listen to that information on the Washington State Long-Term Care Trust Act. Folks, it is going to be such a tax grab, and I'm out of it. I don't have to pay into it. I have long-term care insurance. And the problem we're having is there's a lot of these, like my son is turning 18 in July, and I've got to figure out, can I get him a policy in time? There's several companies out there. There's only two companies out there now that will still go down to age 18. So most of them, there's a cutoff, like they don't want to take anybody under 30. So those people that are 25 out of college, getting their first job here, they're going to be surprised. They're going to get hit with that tax. And if they work here for 10 years and then they move somewhere else, that money's gone. They're never going to get that money back. And so that's the problem that we're going to have with this program. And it's just going to be a mess like every other. That's why the people that always say they want universal health care, I don't think they really understand how it works. You know, if you go to UK or Canada or any of these places, the people will tell you point blank. The healthy people will tell you it's great. It's just the people that use the system tell you it's a problem. And that's what this Long-Term Care Trust Act is probably going to end up being. But let's talk here the last few minutes before we end the show. One of the most common discussions I get into with people, especially people that set up plans like Tom did, our client of the week, where they're coming in with a $250,000 to put into their plan. What they're trying to do is figure out, if I keep this money and I invest it, would I be better off? And so they're comparing insurance to investments, and it's a very common thought for people that are looking at these asset-based plans. And especially for people that have no experience with long-term care situations, they don't understand. But the problem that I see with this is most of the people that ask me that question, I look at like Tom's situation, he had a lot of money in money market, cash, and CDs. That is not investments. That is savings. There's a complete difference. Savings is money that you're not going to lose. Investments, the whole idea of investment is you're taking risk of loss, so that you can get a higher return than you're going to get in your savings account. So a lot of these people say, well, I might be better off just keeping the money myself. What they're really saying is they don't think they'll ever need insurance, so they're just going to keep their savings. And that's fine, but just understand, that's what you're going to use to pay. There's no safety net program until you used all your savings. So the idea with these asset-based plans, what we're trying to do is take some of our savings, our guaranteed money, and put that into the insurance company so that we have the guarantees. Now, the problem with comparing that $250,000 with the insurance company and the $250,000 in the stock market is, will the stock market provide more money over the long run? We don't know. We are flipping a coin in that. If you take a plan out today, you put $250,000 in the stock market and you listen to the average financial radio show and they tell you that it's going to grow by 7 to 10% over the long haul, Well, that's, to me, it's bogus. That's over 100 years. And if you look back the last 100 years, there's been multiple times of 7 years and 10 years and 15 years where the stock market's actually been down for that period of time. So we don't know. What we're saying is that, yes, if you average 5% or 7%, that $250,000 would double every 15 years at 5%. So you'd have $500,000. Well, remember, Tom's got unlimited long-term care. If he doesn't use it, he gets $280,000 back. So that's what I think people worry about. They say, well, if I leave the $250,000 in the market and I double it in 50 years, I'd have $500,000. So I'd be better off. Well, only if you don't end up in long-term care. Because remember, you doubled your money, but you've got to pay tax on that money when you pull it out. It's a finite number where the long-term care says, hey, we're going to give you $100,000 a year for as long as you need it. So the idea of comparing investments to insurance, I struggle with that because that's not what we're doing. We're putting insurance in place, number one, so that we have a guarantee. We don't make this same argument. Even the financial advisors, I will just throw this right back at them. When they say, well, my client might be better off leaving their money in the market, I'm like, well, they need to do that with their homeowner's insurance first and foremost then, because it's a 99% chance their house is not going to burn down versus a 70% chance you're going to end up needing some kind of long-term care. And, oh, well, we can't do that because what if the house burns down? Well, yeah, what happens if you end up in long-term care? It can be the magnitude. What's the magnitude? It can be catastrophic. So the idea is the reason why we reposition some of this money, especially bond money or CD money or savings money into insurance, is because insurance provides us the guarantees. It provides us the tax-free benefits. All that money comes back to us when we're on long-term care. Tax-free. Investments don't work that way. Investments can be up this year, they can be up next year, they can be up the year after that, and then they can drop 30%, and then they can drop 10%, and then they can drop 5%, and then they can go back up 10%. But the bottom line is, as we age into retirement, the vast majority of people don't have a lot of exposure to equities. They have, you know, what's the old 60-40 bond portfolio? 60% bonds, which is your savings side, 40% stocks. And as you get older, you get closer to 70, you're supposed to have 30% in stocks at the most and 70% in bonds. That's always been the old wives' tale. The problem with that is bonds aren't working anymore because interest rates are down. Last 30 years, that strategy worked really well. You could invest and you could use bonds for long-term care because you started out at 6%, and as interest rates went down to 1%, it just made your bonds more and more and more valuable every single year. So you got that automatic inflation built in. Folks, those days are gone. So when you're thinking about it, the reason why you put insurance in place is not to compare it to an investment. It's so that you can have the freedom to invest your money, spend your money, use your money for lifestyle, because you know that should you end up in an extended healthcare event, you got a defined benefit over here that's not only going to pay for that care, but like in Tom's case, if you have that concierge service, you're also going to have the support to help you manage that care so your family doesn't have to. You've burned another hour with us. Thanks so much. We will be back next week with another version of Long-Term Care Radio. We appreciate all the listeners. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and Long-Term Care Radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. To schedule an appointment with Brian Ott, call 425-748-8188. That's 425-748-8188. For more information on the show or to sign up for a free long-term care planning class, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.